Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a throwback Thursday. Again, 1993, Michael Jordan retiring from the NBA, part one of a multi-layered career that had different points. But the big story in 1993 on this date, Michael Jordan announcing his retirement, would later play baseball and then later come back. But that's good. But what is the real good of the day?
The good of the day, and this team never really ends up in this category, but I got to give it to them. The Oakland A's.
The Oakland A's.
Yeah. I got to highlight something that happened with the Oakland A's yesterday. Stephen Vogt played his final Major League Baseball career game, and a couple things happened, and it was all just a fairy tale day for Stephen Vogt. When he first came up to bat, his kids announced him, you know, now batting Stephen Vogt, you know, and they did the whole thing. It was really cute. But his final at bat to help the A's get ahead was a home run.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And he ran around that field like that's the heartwarming part, is watching him run around that field. You could totally tell that this was everything to him, because, I mean, he sprinted.
Good for him. I think he played for the Cardinals once.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, I don't know anything about him.
No, nothing.
So,
except
God bless.
That he had one magical moment before his final day.
Yeah. Good for him.
And it was a feel-good story. Moment.
How long was his career? Do you know?
10 years.
10 years. Okay. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. So that's decent. All right. I thought it would be like five and like, eh.
Probably feels like it.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Good for him. That's awesome. And hit a home run in his final major league.
His final major league baseball at bat was a home run.
Is he old? Was he one of those older guys that got called up?
I
lived my dream and I'm playing. Because why stop at 10? Baseball is not one of those. It's not like a concussion sport or anything like that.
No, right? I think he's like mid-30s.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, maybe the knees weren't working as well
maybe
anymore because he is a catcher.
Oh, okay. Couldn't move him anywhere like they did.
What's
Hattieburg?
Well, I was gonna say, what's the major league guy Tom Berenson's character?
Yeah, exactly. Move him somewhere else. Exactly. Good for Stephen Vogt. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a fun video.
The kids announcing. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. All right, what's the bad of the day?
I had mentioned this on Tuesday, and we just kind of like wrote it off a little bit, right?
Right.
But. The protester who ran on the field during the Rams-Niners game Monday night is, in fact, he did file a police report against Bobby Wagner and Tack McKinley for blatant assault.
They all do this now, right? Yeah, they all do this. Yeah, we joked about that, but yeah, that's you kind of had a feeling there was going to be some lawyer going, hey, man, let's work it.
Yep.
Let's work it. Why not? They might give you $100,000 to go away.
I feel like this is a waste of time.
You cannot set this precedent at all. But
so, I mean, he is a protester. He's with direct action everywhere. I still have no idea what he was protesting, except whatever caused direct action everywhere was wanting to use at that moment. But yeah, I mean, we all saw the takedown. It was glorious. It was awesome. We all had a good chuckle over it. It was
I'm going to be a spoil sport.
Be a spoil sport.
Oh, don't give me the highlight of the game. Deebo Samuel ran a 57-yard touchdown. The South Carolina Gamecocks scored. Don't tell me that tackled by a protester South Carolina Gamecocks scoring an NFL touchdown.
Gamecocks, you know, Gamecocks showed up. I forgot.
Yeah, exactly. We don't get very many opportunities to celebrate NFL success.
That's right.
I don't even know where Jadeveon Clowney is these days.
Yeah, that's probably the last highlight was something he did, right?
Totally.
You know, and Deebo Samuel, he had a lot of highlights last year.
He did.
He was a highlight reel.
In fact, when I was at the draft in Nashville, when he got drafted, I took a picture of it because I was proud. I was a proud South Carolina Gamecock when Deebo Samuel got drafted. All right, but I'm gonna play spoil sport. I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm not making the case or not making the case. But What if something went horribly wrong and that guy suffered a neck injury and died? Like Bobby Wagner, he landed on his head wrong. It was too hard of a tackle. Like, would we go, well, that's what you get for running on the field? Or we say, okay, look, we get it. There's going to be some protests, but they don't need to die. Like, that's kind of like, would we be more sympathetic if he was killed or paralyzed, or would we still go, no, too bad, you ran on the field, you deserve death?
That's a great question. Yeah, I don't have the answer to that because
like it's one thing to be like it didn't look like he got hurt. Or
no,
whatever,
in fact, I mean, and just for his story, for his sake, he suffered some minor burns from his pink smoke bomb that he was running around with.
Because running on the field, we act like it's a capital crime, like it's 15 years in prison. It's trespassing. It's all it is. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a crime. You go, you get
expulsion from the stadium. Never allowed to see an NFL game again in your life.
But in the end, it's like if I see somebody jaywalking, I wouldn't go, "You deserve to be run over by a car." Like you deserve to be run over by a car and killed. Like if that happened to you, I would support it. I would laugh at your funeral. I would point you out to everybody. See, this is what happens. So in the one hand, I can understand where a lawyer would say, look, in the end, you were supposed to be taken out by security who knows how to do that, not an NFL player. And so go sue the NFL player. But on the other hand, I want NFL players to tackle protesters so that people will go, I ain't getting hit by that guy. Like before I run out with my Save the Whales banner, I know that I'll probably be tackled by a 320-pound all-muscle linebacker with pads, and I don't think I want to do that tonight. So that's where I'm kind of I'm back and forth with it. Because I'm with you. I'm glad Bobby Wagner took the guy out. That's great.
No.
But at the same time, I can see where a lawyer is like, yeah, but he's not supposed to take the law into his own hands.
The only thing I think is wrong with that is like I don't really know how much Tack McKinley did.
Yeah, what did Tack McKinley do?
I kind of
thought it was just Bobby Wagner.
But Bobby Wagner was the one who dropped the shoulder.
Yeah.
You know, I've watched that video a couple of times because it is funny.
I saw a guy on Twitter point out that he went to the website, that he could see the website that the guy was promoting. I'm like, that's the point of why he ran on the field in the first place. Don't say that. If you want to look it up on your own, but don't point out that you looked up the guy. That's going to add fuel to the fire. We want to make it so that people who run on the field to protest something or promote a website or do something, that it's a waste of time. No one's going to show it on TV. And if we do show it on video, we're not going to your website. We're not calling a 1-800 number. We're not donating to your cause. We're not paying attention to you.
That's why, Peyton pointed it out. He's like, you know, I know they can't show it on their broadcast, but can't we?
Yeah, sure.
I want to see the takedown.
Sure. I want to see the takedown, yeah. Exactly. I hope this doesn't deter future NFL people from taking the law into their own hands.
No, because that was brilliant.
Yeah, good Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
And even if you give him $50,000 to go away, make it so quiet that nobody knows it.
Yeah.
So that nobody will do this again. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
Okay, it's not really so much a dumb, because I actually think this is a great idea. I'm putting it in the dumb because why hasn't it been talked about more? At least I haven't seen it.
Okay.
And that is, I think it was either Tuesday night, Steve Ballmer gave a big old rousing, fiery speech.
He did?
Ahead of the Clippers facing off against the Trailblazers in Seattle.
A preseason game?
A preseason game.
All right, so they went to Seattle.
They went to Seattle to play a preseason game, Clippers against
Blazers. Don't you miss
Blazers.
This, Seattle? Too bad.
Well,
I
have the audio. You want to
hear it?
You want to hear them?
Yeah.
I am so excited to have a game in my hometown of Seattle, Washington! I am so excited to see Climate Pledge Arena, this fantastic building, light up tonight! I'm so excited that we're playing the Portland Trailblazers! I gotta be honest, a lot of us wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Blazers. Paul Allen, founder of Microsoft, got me interested in basketball. Before he passed, the owner of the Blazers. Thanks to all the Blazers tonight. And last, but not least, I want to know whether you guys agree with me. I've watched thousands of basketball games in Seattle. CYO, little kids, AAU, pro, college, you name it. So if this is a basketball city, damn it, let's hear it!
And this leads me to my dub. Has there been talks about Steve Ballmer moving the Clippers to Seattle?
Okay, no, but how cool is it to be a billionaire knowing you pretty much can do what you want?
Exactly.
Like, he goes, he's up in Seattle in his hometown, and he's making a speech like that, and he knows I'll pull the right levers, and I can either A, move the Clippers there, or B, sell the Clippers and buy an expansion team in Seattle.
Right.
Like, I don't know if he'd move the Clippers. I mean, he could,
but I think it's perfect because LA, no matter, I mean, the Clippers have had better teams the last couple of years.
Right.
And it's still a Laker town.
Yeah, it is a Laker town, but you're forgetting.
It's always going to be a Laker town.
But you're forgetting something that, and it may not matter to him because he's really rich. I mean, he's
stupid
mega
rich.
So it might not matter to him.
You have cash,
but his team is more valuable in Los Angeles, even if it's a Laker town, just by its location and its proximity to the population and market size than it would be in Seattle. But he may not care. He may go, screw it, I don't care. If I devalue my franchise, I don't care. I only got so many years left on this planet, and I want to spend them watching games in my hometown, right? And I'll take the loss on the business side of the Clippers. It's not my personal wealth. It's going to be the overall wealth of what this franchise is that I own. But I'm not gonna be broke, right?
Right.
Like, or maybe like, you know, because if you're that rich, like he is. And the NBA goes, hey, man, we're expanding. We're going to expand to two cities, Las Vegas, because LeBron won't leave me alone about
exactly.
it. And Seattle, because we kind of screwed them over when Clay Bennett bought the team and moved them. So what we're going to do is we're going to put a expansion franchise. And if you're Steve Ballmer, don't you go, yeah, can I get a part of that? Because I just can't own this knowing I could own that.
Right?
Like, And again, he's so mega rich that he should be looking at his life not in terms of everything being a certain dollar value, but everything being a fulfillment of something that makes him happy. And it feels like listening to that clip, basketball in Seattle is what makes him happy.
Yes.
Right? So just do what makes you happy. Move the Clippers. Or
you can keep the same. You can keep Seattle Clippers.
Sure, yeah.
You know, they have boats up there.
Or sell the team to somebody else and say, I'm the guy for the expansion franchise. All right, so I'll agree to sell this if we get some documents signed that nobody owns this team but me. So you're not pulling the rug from under me.
Yeah,
I own that, and I will build that for you.
If
and
not,
I'll sell this team for $3 billion.
No, I'm going to find a way to own both teams. And
right.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha. Right.
I have the money.
Because that speech was a guy who, that wasn't just off the top. He wanted to send a message to somebody somewhere in the league.
Yes.
That they made a big mistake. Clay Bennett, I'm sorry if you're a Thunder fan. Clay Bennett broke the hearts of that city. He told them he was going to stay. I had a whole thing I did years ago on how to move a franchise in five easy steps. And I followed the plan of Clay Bennett, which was you put some tax bill together that has no business of passing. Like no one would ever pass a ridiculous property tax hike or something hike so you could build a new arena. And then you go, nothing I can do. Sorry, the people have spoken, and you move the team when you knew you were working on a bill that no one would be political suicide if they voted for it. And then you're like, sorry, I got to sell the team. I got to move the team now. And that was the plan the whole time. He knew he was moving the team to Oklahoma City, and I don't blame him. It's same thing with Ballmer. That was his area. He wanted to move the team there, and it's worked out. So I don't blame him. But at the same time, it's like the NBA, David Stern was like, nah, you're not getting it. You didn't vote for it. Bye. We're leaving. Bye. And was adamant about it. He was like, are you going to give a team back to Seattle? Kind of like the Browns, the NFL did with Cleveland. No, nothing on tap for that. And so here's their savior, super billionaire Steve Ballmer. It's coming. That's a great clip, man. That is a great clip.
Who paid for the Clippers with cash.
Cash. Cash showed up at Donald Sterling's wife's house with like duffel bags.
Exactly. That's how we want them. I want a picture. It's like,
that's
you
what
know,
I want a picture.
He came in with a briefcase with the handcuff to his wrist, and inside the briefcase it was just a check. Like there
it's
you
like,
go. There it is.
I got an envelope for you.
Yep.
I have the Treasury make this very special $1 billion bill, and I have two of these in this envelope for your franchise.
How'd you get to make a bill? I'm rich.
Mm, Yeah.
Like, I can do whatever I want.
I can make this happen. So this is a $1 billion piece of currency. Even got my face on it.
Yep. Oh, it's legit. It's legit.
That's, that is a great clip. Okay, put that in the archive. Because when the day comes, well, Ballmer owns the seat, we're going to bring that out again.
Yeah, so, yeah, this
is
what
we're bringing that out again.
He was that evil genius who had the plan going.
So
all
remember
along.
Back in 2022, in the fall of 2022, when Ballmer made this speech, then we'll play it and we'll remind people that we.
I think there's going to be a team in Seattle.
I
soon.
Do too.
Because I
mean,
you know, you see how well hockey's doing now too. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, the Kraken.
Yeah.
Yeah. Release the Kraken.
What's their biggest complaint right now? The mascot.
Right, like,
okay,
right.
Now you truly are a hockey town when you're complaining about the mascot.
All right, that's a good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.